Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa DeYoung. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of From Pain to Power. I am back from my holidays. It's actually now mid-September here in Dublin in Ireland, and it's really good to be back. But today we have a very grey, autumnal, wet, damp, overcast kind of a day. And it's not even that cold, it's just this kind of muggy energy in the air, and there isn't a ray of sunshine to be found, and it's very depressing. And my mood is really impacted by the weather, so I'm really feeling that today. I'm also really, really feeling the shifting nature of the season of autumn. And I know all of the listeners in the Northern Hemisphere, you're all in autumn with me, or most of you, I think. And then we've got in the Southern Hemisphere, people who are in spring. And so the seasons of autumn or fall and then the spring, they are transition seasons between the anchor points of winter and summer in the seasons of our climate and also in the seasons of the menstrual cycle. And the nature of transition means changing and this kind of negotiating energy. And it can be very hard to find grounding in ourselves when the earth below us is kind of moving, if the plates are kind of moving, if you will. And it can be very unsettling and disorienting. And I have to be honest, I'm struggling with it. And because I went on my summer holidays to Greece at the end of August, then I came back from, you know, we came back from midsummer over there and landed in autumn, because apparently the shift from summer to autumn here in Dublin was very quick. There wasn't really much of a transition in that change. It was a bit of a shock to the system when I came back, and literally we arrived in Dublin airport at about midnight and it was dark and wet and a bit miserable. And I just had to put away all my summer dresses and my sun cream and my sun hat and start pulling out my autumnal wear, if you will. And yeah, it's just felt like a bit of a mess, you know, because I have some summer clothes like t-shirts and the odd pair of shorts still for the sunny days. And then I have winter clothes, so in a lot of layers. So even just in my clothing, and it's not that the clothing matters, but it's how it represents where we are and where we find ourselves in the season. It's a bit of both worlds. You know, we have one foot planted in summer, one foot planted in winter, and that is what autumn is. And it can be, you know, one day it can be warm, the next day it's cold, then it's sunny and cold, then it's wet and warm. And so yeah, it's just a little bit unsettling, and I'm finding it hard, and I absolutely love the summer, so I'm feeling the grief around that. So the reason I'm sharing that with you is just to offer a little check-in, a seasonal check-in. I invite you to check in with yourself to see how you're doing, where you are in your season, in your inner seasons as well, and just acknowledging what you're struggling with, acknowledging what is, and see what that brings up for you. I'm also in my inner summer of my cycle at the moment. I believe I'm on about day 18 or 19. And I do know that I ovulated the other day because I'm someone who feels it. And so I explained this before in the inner summer episode of the menstrual cycle, episode 8, where once we ovulate, there is a sharp dip in estrogen. And so in the teachings of menstrual cycle awareness, yes, it tends to be a high energy time and a potent time and a time where we have more capacity in our nervous system and we have more capacity for other people's needs and we are more outwardly focused in the world from a social perspective. However, that drop in estrogen right after ovulation can also then lead to a dip in energy. And I think that that's what I'm experiencing at the moment. So I'm just in a bit of a wobbly point in my cycle as well. So I'm just noting that because it's something for us to remind ourselves of as an experience that many of us can have in the inner summer of the cycle. So similar to your seasonal check-in, take a moment to check in with your cycle. Where are you? How do you feel? What's going on in your body? What's going on in your physical body? What's going on in your emotional body? What's happening in your mental self, in the thinking, the thoughts, in your relational self? And how are you experiencing the world, your sort of immediate environment, your social environment, and then the world at large? I'd love to remind you to go check out as well. I did a 4-part series on the inner critic while I was away. So that was episode 22, 23, 24, and 25. It's kind of like a self-guided online course that happens to be hosted on my podcast. I'd really invite you to go and dive into that for yourself, because even though it doesn't sound very appealing, oh, the inner critic, it's not super sexy, but I promise you, I just know that that work works, and it's helped me a lot. It's helped a lot of my clients, even my friends, to work through some of the blocks they had with their inner critic. And I'll also share with you that currently where I'm at personally in my personal process in relation to myself, me, Lisa, as an individual, and also as myself as a professional, is I'm currently exploring another layer of the onion of my own inner critic. And so what came up in my session with my own coach and supervisor the other day was perfectionism and how it was showing up for me and how I was trying to control things in this autumnal energy, and, you know, how it was showing up in my business as well, and how I was reflecting on successes. So that's something I'm currently thinking about in a very gentle kind of way. I'd really invite you to go and check out the episode 22, 23, 24, and 25 on the inner critic. Have a go at some of the exercises and let me know how you get on, because I'm really curious to see how that lands for you. So today we're going to be talking about a really important topic, which is the title of this podcast episode, the importance of integration. We're going to be talking about what that means and why it's important. Before I dive into that, I want to just remind you that I am available for one-to-one coaching. I have a 3-month package available for anyone who feels called to explore that. You can book a consultation with me on my website. I will put a link in the show notes, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And yeah, we can do some one-to-one work together if you're on a journey of healing and a journey of recovery, particularly for people who've read a lot of books or done a lot of courses, or they've tried a lot of therapy and healing modalities. I do specialize in helping people who've tried a lot of things and who are still stuck, or, you know, who struggle to see progress. And I will say, even though I do take a very gentle and compassionate approach to my coaching, it can be tough. There's work involved. You do have to do the work. And I'm there to support you along the way and to cheerlead you and to help you unravel what it is that is holding you back. And together we usually find a way forward. If you're ready, if you feel at a next level of readiness in your recovery and in your healing work, then I invite you to come and have a chat with me and see if this is the next step for you. So yeah, you can go over to my website and read more about that. And also, I still have space for the professional training program, the Menstrual Cycle Coaching and Facilitation Professional Training. We're starting on the 8th of October this year, 2022. It's a program I run every year. We have a lovely group of people together. It's not too big either. And we have small little subgroups in it as well. People from all over the world supporting you to become a menstrual cycle coach or integrate this work into your own existing practice or bring it into your workplace. So if you're interested, you can also head over to my website, click on the For Professionals link, and you'll find the link there for the coaching program. And all you have to do is just send in the application. And yeah, we've got a few spaces left. So if you are interested, don't hesitate. You know, send in your application form, and you can also submit any questions to me via the application form, and I will get you signed up for that. Okay, so with this whole theme of being in the inner autumn, or the autumn, if you will, of the seasons of the year, and also on the back of the Inner Critic podcast series that I did, episodes 22 to 25, I wanted to take some time on this podcast and talk about this really seemingly boring topic, but very important part of healing and recovery work, which is this word integration. Okay. So, and this is going to be a kind of a short episode, hopefully. So we'll see how we get on. But integration and what it means, why it's important, and how to do it. Okay, so let's first look at what integration means exactly when it comes to healing and recovery work. So you might be on a journey with your own therapist or another practitioner of sorts, or coaching, or you're thinking about working with me, or you are already working with me, or you're doing self-guided courses, or you're kind of in this healing recovery journey on some level, even if it's just a kind of a part of your life, or if it's a big intention for your life right now, it doesn't matter. So integration is so important. And what it is that when we explore topics and when we do that thing of peeling back the layers and processing emotions and feeling our feelings and being witnessed in our vulnerability and choosing different choices and actions and taking up more responsibility and healing trauma, healing our internalized systemic oppression, looking at our family dynamics, looking at our relationships and doing healing work around that in order to get to where we want to be in the world, which ultimately is to feel better, to have more joy, to have more inner peace, to have more physical vitality and health. The work involved in healing and recovery, it is hard work a lot of the time. It means that we are facing ourselves. We're looking at parts of ourselves we might not like. We are, our therapist or our coach might point things out to us that we don't necessarily like. We might start to feel very uncomfortable emotions that have been trapped or we haven't felt safe to feel, which is often what happens in the case of trauma. And so it is heavy work and there's a lot of energy that goes into that work. And so it's really important that when we're doing that work, that we also create space for integration. Okay. So what integration will mean different things for everyone, but from a nervous system perspective, what integration means is that when you're working, say if you're working with me and we're doing somatic experiencing, which is a body-based trauma practice that I'm trained in, that I offer in my coaching service, I'm supporting your nervous system to move through some activation. So that means a little bit of discomfort through what we're talking about and then coming back into regulation. Okay. So moving through these cycles of activation and deactivation in the nervous system. And I'll be talking about that in more detail as I progress in this podcast when I start to explore trauma in more detail. Okay. But for now, just see it as when you're in a coaching session or a therapy session, you might have a moment where you're crying, or you might have a moment where you feel in your body anxiety, or you feel shame, or you feel tension or something that's uncomfortable, whether it's an emotion or you might have a thought or something like that, or a memory. And so our nervous system can go into this place where it's feeling uncomfortable. And then once we are with it for some time, generally speaking, it gives us some space to integrate and to feel it and to create safety with the difficult experience, the memory or the feeling, and through sharing and co-regulating with our coach or our therapist or support person or even a mentor or a friend even, that is a healing experience to have a compassionate witness. Okay, so when you're in the therapy space and you're doing this work, or if you're doing this work self-guided, like in my Inner Critic series, and you're journaling on things and you're processing things out, we are moving through uncomfortable stuff mentally, physically, and emotionally, and even spiritually. And so that can be kind of an exercise for our somatic selves, for our body, for our nervous system. It's like exercising in the gym, okay? Our emotions are kind of being put through a bit of a ringer from time to time when we're doing this work, okay? And the reason we're doing this work is because we want to heal stuff and improve the way we're showing up in the world. And so it's really important that we also give ourselves time after that to rest, to integrate, to move away from the topic, and to allow our nervous system and our body to integrate and to settle and to absorb and to marinate in this new experience. Because if we're constantly going from one topic to the next, one healing modality to the next, one coaching session to the next, or, you know, and we're not really giving ourselves time and our body's time and our brain's time to just have a break and kind of let the dust settle, if you will, we're not going to get the full benefits. Okay. So it's kind of like in the gym when you're lifting weights, you have to have recovery time in between your reps and in between your exercises. The same thing goes with, I know a lot of you are really into yoga and different body movements. It's the same thing. Like if we're only doing sun salutations, vinyasa flow yoga, like that's great and all, but we also need to lean into restorative practices, hatha yoga, yin yoga, to allow the body to restore, to allow the muscles to restore and to heal and to recover. Okay, it's the same thing when it comes to mental health recovery, nervous system recovery, menstrual cycle work. And even if we're working with, say, if you're working with me and we might do one session that's very content heavy and we're kind of just talking about information rather than processing stuff, even that, we still have to kind of allow our brain some time for like the new information to land and kind of almost see what sticks. We don't need to cling on to everything and try and remember it all. It's like almost like, let's just trust our nervous systems. Let's trust our brains. Let's trust our somatic selves too, that it knows how to come back into regulation, that it knows how to come back to homeostasis. And if we don't try and force and control, then it will find integration and a settling and a newness after some time. So we do have to kind of step back and allow for this integration when it comes to this work. I invite you now to reflect on what I've just shared with you and ask yourself, in what areas of my life can I create more, a little bit more space for integration? So, or even buffering is another word I like to use. So, you know, for me, I always find it really helpful when my own coach says to me, you know, we'd be talking about something and it's not like I'm crying my eyes out in the session, but we'd be talking about something that could be challenging. I could be talking to her about a difficult client case or something in my business that's kind of challenging, or a personal thing that's linked to some block in my work. And that those subject matters can be quite heavy. And she always says to me at the end of our sessions, you know, she always reminds me, like, Lisa, now go gently. Because my coach makes me work hard. You know, it's not an easy, comfortable experience. Like, I don't go there to be made to feel good. Like, I go there to work. I go there to unravel. I go there to heal. I go there to get clarity. And that takes work and effort and responsibility. But she always reminds me afterwards to just take it gently and to give myself some time. And then one of my trainers who I'm training with in this practice, somatic experiencing, my trauma healing that I'm working at the moment, she's also reminding us that it's really important that we give our clients space at the end of our sessions to integrate and to settle and to allow their brains and their bodies to come to some settling and to allow their system to integrate. And I don't know what integration is going to feel like for everyone, because I can't control that for my clients. That's once we create the environment for it and the context and the conditions for integration, then the nervous system will do what it needs to do. And the same thing goes for you. So if you're on a journey of like self-healing and you're listening to a lot of podcasts and you're reading a lot of books and you're doing all this great work, I would encourage you to make sure that you take the time to also give yourself some space from all those topics, some space from the changes you're making, some space from the journaling, some space from the healing. You know, maybe instead of 1 week, a month or something, instead of listening to healing and recovery podcasts, maybe listen to a completely different type of podcast, or take yourself out of the house and go on an artist's date, like Julia Cameron talks about in that book, The Artist's Way, or, you know, do something nice for yourself. That's different to always needing to kind of like think about recovery and healing all the time. And for me, it can be as simple as like going for a walk and not really like thinking about what I just talked about in my session, but rather just allowing my brain to kind of mull it over and trust that whatever I need to remember will stick for me and I don't have to control. And I might jot down a couple of bullet points because I want to remember some stuff, but I won't try and remember every word. I also like to, yeah, just to step away and like just remind myself that, oh, I can trust this. It's fine. That was a really good session with my therapist or my supervisor. And I'm going to take a little break before I move on to the next thing in my day. And that's really important too. If you're working with me as a coach, I always encourage you to take minimum 10 minutes after our work together just to have a cup of tea or get a breath of fresh air or lie on the floor or do some movement, just to let your system integrate the work, okay? And so the last thing I wanted to say on that is the impact that it has. So the impact that allowing yourself this integration has on you is, it's another healing. It's like, if we're approaching our healing and recovery work from this dynamic and this mindset of go, 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 do, 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 this fight or flight energy, this trauma response, this need to get it all done now, this urgency, which is very normal, by the way, I'm not dismissing that, but rather if you notice that in yourself, see if we can just step back a little bit from that dynamic, because that's where the healing is in. If we're changing our relationship with ourselves in our healing recovery and recovery work, and we're allowing a little bit more trust to come in, We're dropping expectations, we're dropping urgency and building a bit more safety with spaciousness, with lack of clarity, with lack of certainty, and building more safety and more ability with trust. Trust is definitely a kind of a muscle we can work on over time in our healing work. Okay, so yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to share with you. And if you do have that question come in and like, how should I do this? Just ask, well, first of all, there is no shoulds, right? And it's going to look different for everyone. But I would say just keep it simple. I love that Al-Anon slogan, one of my favorites. Keep it simple. You know, a cup of tea, go for a walk. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Jot down a couple of notes in your journal. You know, don't try and be perfect, because that's part of what we're healing. Speaking for myself here. And just let it be really gentle, okay? And so, yeah, I'd love for you to reflect on that. Can you allow more space and time for integration work? And if you do that, let me know how you get on. Let me know the impact that has on your healing, your recovery, on your learning, on your personal development journey. And I'd be really curious to know. So that's it from me. If you're interested, again, as I said, in working with me one-to-one, I have space. It is hard work, but it's powerful work and we get results. If you're ready, so you can book a consultation with me at lisadioncoaching.com and we can have a chat and see where you're at. And also I have space in my professional training as well. So I'll put all the links in the show notes, and I'm wishing you really well this autumn, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.